أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم ربنا ألهمنا رشدنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى آمين يا رب العالمين. Dear brothers and sisters and sons and daughters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As I told you last night, that although from the first part of the selected course of study that we are studying in this series of lectures, the fourth lesson is also there, comprising of six ayat of Surah Hamim As-Sajda. But I am leaving that lesson, and I shall take inshallah that lesson at the end of the second section of this selected course of study. Now we are proceeding with the second section of this course. The second part or second section of this course comprises of five places of the Quran, and the subject of this second part is Iman. What is Iman? What's the logical basis of Iman? What's the synthesis of Iman? What are the constituents of Iman? What are the articles of Iman? And what are the results and effects of Iman? So these are the questions that we shall be dealing inshallah in this second section. The first lesson in this second section comprises of Surah Al-Fatiha. Every Muslim learns it by heart. So there is no need of any film there. We can proceed. But just as I did in the case of Surah Al-Asr and in the case of Ayat Al-Birr, I will be reading out to you the translation of this Surah Al-Mubarakah, Al-Azimah, done by Mr. Iqtal number 1, Allama Asad number 2, and the English rendering of the Urdu translation done by Maulana Maududi. First of all, the translation as done by Mr. Muhammad Marmaduke Iqtal. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Owner of the Day of Judgment. We alone we worship. We alone we ask for help. Show us the straight path, the path of those whom thou hast favored, not the path of those who earn thine anger, nor of those who go astray. Number 2, from Allama Muhammad Asad, formerly Leopold Weiss. In the name of God, the most gracious, the dispenser of grace. All praise is due to God alone, sustainer of all the worlds. The most gracious, the dispenser of grace. Lord of the Day of Judgment. Thee alone do we worship, and unto thee alone do we turn for aid. Give us the straight way, the way of those upon whom thou hast bestowed thy blessings. not of those who have been condemned by thee, nor of those who go astray. Now thirdly, the English translation of the Urdu rendering by Maulana Maudhuri. Praise is only for Allah, the Lord of the universe, the all-compassionate, the all-merciful, the master of the day of judgment. Thee alone we worship, and thee alone we pray for help. Show us this straight way, the way of those whom thou hast blessed, who have not incurred thy wrath, nor gone astray. So these are the three translations. And as usual, now I am making some preliminary points about the surah. And here they are not four, but seven. First of all, this is the first surah of the Quran, both ways. In the sequence of compilation we find it. It's the first surah of Mus'haf. Also, it is the first surah of the Quran revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before this, no complete surah was revealed. Separate ayat. The first revelation was the first five ayat of Surah Al-Alaq. And the second, the seven ayat in the beginning of Surah Al-Qalam. Third, seven or ten ayat in the beginning of Surah Al-Muzzammil. Fourth, the seven ayat again with which Surah Al-Muddassir begins. Most of the people think there seems to be a general consensus that these were the four revelations before this surah. But they are just a part of bigger surahs. Surah Al-Alaq, Surah Al-Qalam, Surah Al-Muddassir, Surah Al-Muzzammil. The first complete surah that was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Surah Al-Fatiha. Number two, just as I told you, it's the habit of the Arabs that anything that they love and adore, they give it many names. And these names are based on the different qualities or adjectives or properties of that thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also catered to this habit of theirs. As we study, there are so many names from the Quran itself. Allama Jalaluddin As-Suyuti rahimahullah has given 25 names of this surah. I will just enumerate hastily a few of them. Most common, it is Surah Al-Fatiha, Al-Fatiha. And this name of this surah has become sort of a proper name. Ismi Alam, with which something is identified and recognized. And what is the meaning of Al-Fatiha? Fataha Yaftahu means to open something. So this is very appropriate name. The opening surah of the Quran. This book opens with this surah. The opening surah, Fataha Yaftahu, to open something. Miftah is the key with which a lock is opened, unlocked. So this is Al-Fatiha, and this is the most common name of this surah. Now because it is the basis of the fundamental philosophy, or as I told you last evening, the more appropriate word is the hikmah of Quran. The basis of the hikmah of Quran, that is why it is known by two names, Ummul Quran and Asasul Quran. The mother. The root. From which something comes. So Ummul Quran. This is the basis of the Quran. This is the mother of the Quran. This is the foundation of the Quran. Asasul Quran has the same meaning again. Asas. The base of Quran, the foundation of Quran. So these two names are based on this aspect of the surah, that this is the foundation or the cornerstone, we should say, of the hikmah or the philosophy of the Quran. Then because this surah is the necessary and integral part of our prayer, regarding this aspect of the surah, there are so many names. Suratul Hamd, Suratul Shukr, Suratul Munajat, Suratul Sual, because it teaches us what to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to ask for His guidance. So the Sual, and then Suratul Salah, because this is the integral part of our prayer. Then there are two names which appear in Suratul Hijr, and they are Sab'am min al-Masani wal Quran al-Azim. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي وَالْقُرْآنَ الْعَظِيمِ. And this will be mentioned inshallah in a hadith also that I'll be narrating to you. سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي means the seven ayat which are to be repeated, repeated and repeated. And القرآن العظيم, this is in itself a complete Quran. It gives the same sense as the Ummul Quran, the Asasul Quran. As if you know, the whole Quran is present in this surah. The whole Quran seems to be an exfoliation of this surah. So this is Al Quran Al Azim. And as I told you, the meaning of Quran, para yakrao, to read. Al Quran, as the objective of this work, something which is read. And this is read and recited in every rak'ah of our salah. So this is Al-Qur'an Al-Azim. So these are a few names of this surah out of a very big number. But it can give you some impression about the names with which this surah has been named. Number three. What's the importance or grandeur or splendor? And I don't know the equivalent words of azmah and fazila. The fazila and the azmah of this surah, the grandeur, the splendor, the importance. For that, first of all, I want to read out to you a hadith. This has been included by Imam Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, in his Jami'. And the Sahabi, the companion of the Prophet, who has narrated and reported this hadith, is Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. An Abi Hurairah anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala li Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Most of us know Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. But maybe some of us don't know Ubay ibn Ka'b. He's one of the Ansars of Medina. And about him the Prophet has been reported to have said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَقْرَوْهُمْ أُبَيُّ بْنُ كَعْبُ. The person who knows the qiraat of the Quran most, the most expert knower of the Quran among my Sahaba is Ubay ibn Ka'b. You know, these superlative degrees, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has used different degrees, different words, different qualities or adjectives for different sahaba. Arhamu ummati bi ummati Abu Bakr. Ashadduhum fi amrillahi Umar. Aktharuhum hayaan Usman. Aqdahum Ali. Asbaquhum lahjatan Abu Dharr. Aqrauhum Ubay ibn Ka'b. Alamuhum bil halal wal haram Ma'az ibn Jabal. So these superlative degrees, afalu tafsir, these are the sahaba about which the Prophet has used these verses. So Ubay ibn Ka'b is one of them, having some quality at its maximum among the all sahaba. An Abi Hurairah qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala li Ubay ibn Ka'b. Abu Hurairah reports that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Ubay ibn Ka'b, أَتُحِبُّ أَنْ أُعَلِّمَكَ سُورَةً. Oh, Ubay, do you like that I should teach you the surah? لم ينزل فی التورات ولا فی الانجیل ولا فی الزبور ولا فی القرآن مثلها. The like of which has not been revealed neither in the Torah, nor in the Injil, nor in the Zabur, and nor even in Quran. Even in Quran it is unique, alone. No surah of Quran is like this surah, is equal to this surah in its place. قَالَ نَعْمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. But could be the reply of Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b, surely, O Messenger of Allah, please do tell me. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And now the Prophet said to Ubay ibn Ka'b رضي الله تعالى عنه, كَيْفَ تَقْرَوْا فِي الصَّلَاةِ. Just let me listen from you. What do you read in the prayer? قَالَ فَقَرَأَ أُمَّ الْقُرَانِ. Abu Huraira says, on that Ubay ibn Ka'b recited Surah Al-Fatiha, أُمَّ الْقُرَانِ. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, والذي نفسي بيده, I swear by Allah in whose hands is my life, ما أنزلت في التوراة ولا في الإنجيل ولا في الزبور ولا في القرآن مثلها. The light of this surah, the surah equal to this surah, but never revealed, neither in Torah, nor in Injil, nor in Zabur, nor in Quran itself. And here the Prophet said, وَإِنَّهَا سَبُونَ مِنَ الْمَسَانِي. And this is the surah about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in Surah Al-Hijr, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَسَانِي. Because it comprises of seven ayat. So this is the سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَسَانِي. وَالْقُرْآنَ الْعَظِيمُ الَّذِي أُوتِيتُهُ. And this is the greatest Quran that I have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this hadith can very easily tell us the importance, the place that it occupies in the whole of the Quran. And not only the Quran, all that has been revealed from Hazrat Adam to Hazrat Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam, among all that Quran, this Surah Fatiha stands at the top. There's another saying of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. He said, and we call it asar, this is also called hadith. Hadith comprises of two things, khabar and asar. The sayings or actions of the Prophet are khabar. The sayings and the actions of the Sahaba, the companions, is called asar. And akhbar and asar, both joined together, they form hadith. So this is also hadith. Because this is the saying of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. And let me mention here that about him also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been reported to have prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma faqqihu fi ddeen wa allimhu ta'wil. O Allah, give this young man the deep understanding, tafaqquh, understanding, deep understanding of your deen. And teach him the ta'wil and tafsir and meanings and interpretations of your book, Quran. فَقْتَهُ فِي الدِّينِ وَعَلِّمْهُ التَّعْوِيلِ. That was the prayer of Prophet ﷺ for Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And he says that this surah is equal to two-thirds of the Quran. Now you must have heard that the Prophet has said the Surah Al-Ikhlas is equal to one-third of the Quran. But this is equal to two-thirds of the Quran. Now this is actually to give you a measure of the importance and the azmah, which we in Urdu call azmat, and the fazilah, which we in Urdu pronounce fazilat, of this surah, al-mubarakah, al-azimah. Now the fourth point about this surah. This is the necessary and integral part of the salah, of our prayer. Rather, this has been termed as the salah, the prayer. This is the prayer. All other things that are included in our prayers are additional. The real prayer, the essential prayer, the real salah, the essential salah is actually this Surah Al-Fatiha itself. Here again, let me quote a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Sahabi who has reported this hadith is Umada ibn Samit radiallahu anhu. Again, one of the Ansar of Medina. An Umada ibn Samit radiallahu anhu. Marfu'an. قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now this is khabar, not asar. This is not his own saying. But he is now reporting the words of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب. There is no prayer, no salah for a person who has not recited Surah Al-Fatiha. This is the integral part. About Hajj, you must have heard. Al-Hajj al-Arafah. Arafah is the most integral, necessary part of Hajj. If you have missed Arafah, you have missed the Hajj. There is no compensation for Arafah. All the other things, if you have missed them, you can have some compensation. But if you have missed Arafat, you couldn't go in that period, at that time, then you have missed the Hajj. In the same way, this is the most integral part, essential part. Wordings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are very categorical. لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب. There's no prayer for a person who has not recited, who has not read Surah Al-Fatiha. Now this hadith is so important. Imam Bukhari has reported it. Imam Muslim has reported it. Imam Tirmidhi has included it in his Jami. Imam Abu Dawud has included it in his Sunan. Imam Nasai has included it in his Sunan. No book of hadith, no collection of the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is without this hadith. Now point number 5. Where is the controversy? Whether ayah Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, whether it is a part of Surah Al-Fatiha or not. I'm going to mention 2 or 3 controversies, but let me mention in the very beginning, these are very trivial, very minor, and we shall be able, inshallah, to appreciate how trivial these differences they are. But to our sorrow and grief, they have been magnified by the different sects or different schools of fiqh of the Muslims. And they have become very sensitive about these things. Although they are very trivial, very minor. If you can understand the basis of the difference or a dispute or a controversy, you can understand how trivial, how minor, how unimportant these differences are. But as I told you, to our grief and sorrow, these things have become very much magnified, out of proportion, due to different sects of different schools of fiqh. Number 1, whether ayat e bismillah, that is an integral part of Surah Al-Fatiha or not. Ayat bismillah has been written in the Quran 113 times. Before the surahs, all the surahs except one. I told you the total number is 114. Only Surah At-Tawbah. Before Surah At-Tawbah, you don't write it. You will not find it written in the Mus'haf. So for 113 times it is written in the Mus'haf. Before the surahs. But are they to be counted separately each time or not? I told you in the very beginning. There is a difference of opinion, and that is why the difference of opinion regarding the total number of the ayat of the Quran. If you count every time, the total number will rise by 113. If you don't count, it will go down by 113, naturally. So one opinion is, and this is the opinion of the Qurra of Medina and Syria and Basra. There were different schools of qiraat also developed in the early days of Islam. Because different experts of qiraat, they migrated to different cities. And now they were teaching people there. So their own opinion, personal opinion, that became the foundation and beginning of a definite school of thought. the expert Sahaba who went to Syria, Damascus, and Basra. Now they had an opinion, and Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, he also holds this opinion. Then ayah bismillah is not a part of neither of Suratul Fatiha nor of any other surah except Suratul Naml. Because in Suratul Naml it is included in the text of the surah itself. These wordings appeared in the letter that Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam wrote to the Queen of Sheba. إِنَّهُ مِن سُلَيْمَانَ وَإِنَّهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. This is actually the ayah of the Quran according to Abu Hanifa, and the Qurra and the experts of Qiraat of Medina, Syria and Basra. It is written only to separate the ayah, surahs, so that one should know that this surah, one surah has ended here, the new surah is starting from here. It's only a sign. But on the other hand, the opinion of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah and the Qurra of Kufa and Makkah, they hold the opinion that this is the integral part of every surah of the Quran. That is why you will be finding the number of ayat of Suratul Baqarah, somewhere you will find 286. And in other mushaf you'll find 287. Because if they count ayah bismillah also with surah Baqarah, now the number becomes 287. If you count ayah bismillah with surah al-Ikhlas, now the number will be 5, not 4. Because 4 ayat are of surah al-Ikhlas itself. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. If you add ayah bismillah, it becomes 5. So that is a very minor difference of opinion. But it has a bearing. When a Hanafi Imam will start his recitation with loud voice, he will start with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He won't pronounce Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim loudly. When a Shafi'i or a Hanbali, he is the Imam, he is leading the prayer, he will start his Jahri Qiraat, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. Now people from the Arab world, because they know that these things are very trivial, they don't mind it. But people, for example, in the Indian subcontinent, in Pakistan and in India, they become very much alarmed. What has happened to him? He has read بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم also. So that actually is due to our ignorance, lack of knowledge. It's absolutely trivial. The other person also has recited ayah bismillah, but not loudly, that's all. The difference is only whether you are reciting it loudly or not. Both are reciting. So this is one dispute you may call or controversy. In the same way, what's the number, total number of this surah, of the ayah? There is consensus that it consists of 7 ayat. But now there is a difficulty. If you include ayah bismillah, how to complete that number of 7? If you don't include ayah bismillah, then what will be the numbering? Those people who include ayah bismillah in Suratul Fatiha, they regard Sirat al-Lazina Anamta alayhim, Ghairil Maghdoob alayhim wa al-Dhalin as one ayah. So number remains 7. Those who don't count ayah bismillah in Surah al-Fatiha, they say that Sirat al-Lazina Anamta alayhim is ayah number 6, Ghairil Maghdoob alayhim wa al-Dhalin, this is ayah number 7. So number remains the same. But according to one system of numbering, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, ayah number 1. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, number 2. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, number 3. Malik Yawm al-Din, number 4. Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'een, 5. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqeen, 6. Sirat al-Lazina anamta alayhim, ghayr al-Maghdubi alayhim wa al-Dhalin, 7. And those who don't include, they don't count, Bismillah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, ayah number 1. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, ayah number 2. مالک یوم الدین آیت نمبر 3، ایاک نعبد و ایاک نستعین آیت نمبر 4، اهدنا الصراط المستقیم آیت نمبر 5، صراط الذین انعمت علیہم آیت نمبر 6، غیر المغضوب علیہم ولا الضالین آیت نمبر 7. سو دی نمبر از دی سیم، اٹ کین ناٹ چینج، بیکاز ون قرآن سیز ولقد آتیناک سبعا من المثانی، تو دیر کین بی نو ڈفرنس اباؤٹ دی ٹوٹل نمبر آف دس سورہ، اٹ ہیز ٹو بی 7. بٹ اف یو انکلوڈ آیا بسم اللہ دین صراط الذین انعمت علیہم غیر المغضوب علیہم ولا الضالین، دیٹ از وائی یو ول فائنڈ ان دی مصحف ان دی اسکرپٹ دیٹ سرکل آف دی ٹوٹل سرکل کمپلیٹ سرکل از ناٹ گیون بٹوین دیز ٹو، اینڈ دیر از اے ڈفرنس آف مارکنگ ان دی مصحف آلسو، سو دیٹ پیپل نو دیٹ دیر از اے ڈفرنس آف اوپینین ہیئر. ناؤ پوائنٹ نمبر 7، دی کی ٹو دی انالیسس and solution of these disputes, the disputes regarding the two issues that I have just mentioned, is the hadith al-Qudsi. And this is very important, because this hadith, not only that it gives you an analysis of the contents of this surah al-Mubarakah, but also it clinches the issue regarding the dispute or difference of opinion in these two matters. And that's what I write think, perhaps, maybe I'm wrong, may Allah forgive me if I'm wrong. This hadith might not have reached Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh. Otherwise, he couldn't hold that opinion which I have given that he holds. Because this hadith makes the whole thing absolutely clear. And this hadith is, as I told you, hadith al-Qudsi. Hadith al-Qudsi, it comes somewhere in between Quran and hadith. Because here the Prophet says in express words that Allah says so, Allah has said so. So although it is not included in the Quran, it is not wahi al-jali, but it has a higher level, higher status than the other ahadith. And as regards that the salaf, now it is included in the sahih of Imam Muslim rahimahullah, one of the two most authentic collections of the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there can be no doubt about the sanad. The authenticity is absolutely clear, proved, because Imam Muslim has included in his sahih. And then it is hadith al-Qudsi. Now what is this hadith? قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِصْفَيْنِ يَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى، the Prophet said, عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The reporter of this hadith is Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He says that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ، verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Now this is what the hadith of Qudsi is. What Allah says, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي بِسْحَيْنِ. I have divided the prayer, the salah, between myself and my bondsman, my slave, the Muslim who believes in me, who is praying to me. I divided the prayer in two halves, this hand. فَنِصْفُهَا لِي، half of it is for me. وَنِصْفُهَا لِعَبْدِي، and the remaining half of it is for my slave, my abd, my bondsman. Now with this now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains. وَلِ عَبْدِ مَا سَأَلْ، again, please read these words. قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِصْفَيْنِ فَنِصْفُهَا لِي وَنِصْفُهَا لِعَبْدِي وَلِ عَبْدِ مَا سَأَلْ. These are the divine words. These words are the words of Hadith al-Qudsi. The rest explanation is coming from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the remaining part of this hadith is like other ahadith. إِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ، when the slave, the bondsman, the Muslim who is praying, he says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise and gratitude is for Allah, who is the Lord and sustainer of all the worlds. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى حَمَّدْ حَمِدَنِي عَبْدِي. Allah says, response, my servant, my bondsman has praised me. وَإِذَا قَالَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ and then the servant, the person who is making the prayer, saying the prayer, he says, الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى اسْمَعْ لَيَّ عَبْدِي. Allah says, my abd, my slave, has praised me. وَإِذَا قَالَ مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ and when the servant, the one who is saying that prayer says, مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ he is the Lord of the Day of Judgment. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مَجَّدَنِي عَبْدِي Allah says, my servant has exalted me. Now these three ayat, they are for Allah. Praise for Allah. Glory for Allah. Everything is for Allah. So this is, Allah says, this is for me. Now comes the next ayah. وَإِذَا قَالَ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ When the Muslim, the mu'min, the abd of Allah, who is saying that prayer, when he says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ Only thee we worship, and only from thee, from you, we request help. What does Allah say? هَذَا مَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَاسَى This is between me and my bondsman. It's an agreement. It's a covenant that my slave is making towards me. So this is هَذَا مَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي This is something between us, between me and my servant. وَلِعَبْدِي مَاسَى And I grant hereby to my abd what he has asked. What he has asked, help. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ وَإِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ Then Allah says, هَذَا لِعَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَ This part is exclusively for my bondsman. He needs hidayah. I have to give hidayah or guidance to him. So this is for him exclusively. And I have granted for my bondsman what he has asked for. Now this hadith I have formed a diagrammatic representation. It's very interesting. And this hadith will clinch the both matters about which there is dispute. Nisfain, absolutely two equal halves. The wordings are there. Qasam tu salata baini wa baina abdi nisfain. I have divided the prayer between myself and my abd into two halves. فَنِصْفُهَا لِي وَنِصْفُهَا لِعَبْدِي So half is for me and half is for my abd. وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ And I have granted to my servant, my bondsman, what he has asked for. These are the words with which this hadith has been given. Now you see this balance. The central ayah, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ This is the fourth. And this consists of two sentences complete. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ This is a complete sentence. Wa, This is harf-e atf. It is joining two sentences. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ And only thee we ask for help. Now this is like what we call it, the balance, the stick of the balance. The arms, two arms, and in the center is that vow with which you hold the balance. And to this first part, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ are attached three ayat. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. You see, they have been inscribed. They said we have the eastern type of balance, not the spring balances or the electric balances of you are accustomed to hear, but we have that balance. Two, you know, sides, and to every side three strings are attached. They join it to one side of the arm. What are those three ayat? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din. All these three are attached to إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ And this is exact half. Now start the second half. إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ And what is this istiana? اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ Now, if you include ayah bismillah in it, the symmetry goes. Now, you can't divide it into nisfain. How beautiful symmetry is coming here. And you must, at least those of you who understand some Arabic grammar, you know, the first three ayat, although the ayat are three, sentence is one. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. It's one sentence, not three sentences. Rather, Alhamdulillah is the complete sentence. Alhamd, subject, Lillah, predicate. Now these are the attributes, sifat of Allah which are coming. Rabbil Alameen, that is his first attribute. Ar-Rahman, this is his second attribute. Ar-Rahim, that is his third attribute. Maliki Yawmiddin, it is his fourth attribute. So actually these are the attributes of Allah. That is why all are majroor. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. It's all under the influence of that Laam, Lillah. That is because there is one of the letters of Arabic which gives Zair or Kasira, you know, to any ism on which it is applied. So, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, is one sentence. In the same way, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqima, Sirat al-Lazina Anamta Alayhim, Ghair al-Maghdubi Alayhim, Wal-Dhalin, it's one sentence. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, guide us, lead us on the right path. And now this right path has been explained. So these are the sifat or the badal. They call it in Arabic grammar badal. Badal for the same Sirat al-Mustaqim. Sirat al-Lazina Namta alayhim. Gharil maghdubi alayhim walabbaalim. Three ayat go to make one sentence. Three from the beginning, one sentence. Three in the end, one sentence. And in the center you have the ayah number four. This is the central. And this comprises of two sentences. Iyaka Nabud, complete sentence. Iyaka Nastai, complete sentence. So actually, now, what points have been made clear by this hadith? First of all, we should understand how effective this surah is. This hadith tells us that when a servant of Allah, an abd of Allah, a Muslim, and a mu'min for that matter, when he's saying these words, he's uttering these words, simultaneously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is answering them. إِذَا قَالَ الْعَمْدُ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ يَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى حَمِدَنِي عَبْدِكَ. افلاق سے آتا ہے نالوں کا جواب آخر. اٹھتے ہیں حجاب آخر, کرتے ہیں خطاب آخر. So this is the effectiveness of this prayer. If it is emerging from the depths of your heart, be sure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responding simultaneously to you. And I bet you can hear these words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If actually these words are being uttered not only by your tongue, but they are coming from the depths of your heart, from the depths of your consciousness. That is why the Prophet said, As-salatu mi'rajul mu'mineen. It's a dialogue going on between Allah and his boss man. Just as the Prophet had the dialogue, As-salatu mi'rajul mu'mineen. Only if we have that real salah, not a ritual. Reh gayi rasme azan ruhe bilali na rahi, falsafa reh gaya talqeen ghazali na rahi. Namaz o roza o qurbani o hajj, ye sab baqi hai, tu baqi nahi. Only some forms, only some rituals, only some customs. All the emphasis on the outward issues, superficial matters, discussions, disputes regarding them. Actually, if you have the real faith, the real yaqeen, and these words are coming out from that, the depth of that yaqeen, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, and the answer comes, Hamidani Abdi. My boss man has expressed gratitude for me. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, my boss man has exalted me. Majjad Ali Abdi. Maliki Yawmiddin. My boss man has exalted me. Has, it should be Salah. Has made, embraced me. And when you say, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in, Allah says, this is between you and me. And I grant to you what you have asked. You have requested for help, my help will come. You will find it at your doorstep. And when the servant, the boss man says, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ هَذَا لِعَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَ. My servant, my bondsman, he has asked me for guidance. Well, I grant him the guidance. So this is the effectiveness of this surah, Al-Mubarakah, Al-Azimah, the biggest prayer. Now we can understand why the Prophet said that the like of this surah was never revealed, neither in Torah, nor in Injil, nor in Zabur, nor in Quran itself. There is no part of the Quran, no surah of the Quran, which stands equal to it in status and stature. The second thing, this hadith proves that Ayah Bismillah is not at all a part of Surah Al-Fatiha. Otherwise, this hadith would have begun with that. It begins, إِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ الحمد لله رب العالمين. No mention of ayah Bismillah. إذا قال العبد الحمد لله رب العالمين يقول الله تعالى حمدني ربي. وإذا قال العبد الرحمن الرحيم يقول الله تعالى أثنى علي ربي. وإذا قال العبد مالك يوم الدين مجدني ربي. No mention of ayah Bismillah whatsoever. So actually it is not a part of this surah. Imam Abu Hanifa is absolutely correct. And as far as I think, I told you, this hadith might not have reached Imam Shafi. Because the collection of the hadith was going on simultaneously. It took some time to have all these hadith collected into books. So that process was going on. And these a'imma, you know, of fiqh, they were making their ijtihadah, framing their opinions, because it was the practical issues. People were asking them. So they had to give some opinion. Otherwise, this hadith is absolutely clear that ayah Bismillah is not a part of it. And number two, the numbering would be three, like that, the strings to that side of the balance. And three, like the three strings to the other side of the balance. Alhamdulillah. And you know the logical relationship. When Allah is the Lord of everything, when He is Rahman and He is Rahim, and He is the Malik of Yawmiddin, then we must obey Him. So these things, three things, go to prove. This is the logical sequence and consequence. Logical inference and result. Iyaka na'bud. Thee only we worship. And thee only we shall continue to worship and obey. And then, isti'ana. What is isti'ana? Help. Iyaka nasta'een. And the biggest help is guide us to the right path. It includes everything. If we are on the right path, everything is okay. So this is the biggest, you know, thing that for which a person, a human being, can request Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his creator, his sustainer. So actually, this hadith is very important regarding the resolution of all the differences which I have enumerated. But still, you know, if people, you know, are going in that way, no harm. If you can't count ayah Bismillah with this, what harm will it make? After all, this is an ayah of Quran. It is not something from outside Quran. It is included in the text, very text of Surah An-Naml. إِنَّهُ مِن سُلَيْمَانَ وَإِنَّهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. It is an integral part of Quran, the text of the Surah Al-Naml. So actually, if you count it, what's the harm? If you recite it loudly, what's the harm? If you recite it not loudly, what's the harm? It doesn't make any difference. In the same way, the dispute regarding لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب. Now this is a bigger dispute. And here also, the grave differences exist. So the two extremes are the Hanafis and the Shafi'is. And somewhere in between stands Imam Malik rahimahullah. One thing is absolutely clear. This is an integral part of the prayer, no doubt. But should every person in a congregation recite it separately or not? This is the question. When you are saying prayer by yourself alone, there's no difference. In every rak'ah you have to recite this surah. There's no difference whatsoever. between the Malikis or the Hanafis or the Shafis and the Hanbalis or the Jafaris for that matter or the others or the Zahiris. No difference whatsoever. That hadith is accepted by all. لَا صَلَاةَ لِمَنْ لَمْ يَقْرَأَ بِفَاتِحَةِ الْكِتَابِ. If you are saying prayer by yourself alone, then there is no difference. But when you are in a congregation, an imam is reciting, now there comes a difference of opinion. There are people who stick to the wordings of that hadith. Every muqtadi should also recite it. لَا صَلَاةَ لِمَنْ لَمْ يَقْرَأَ بِفَاتِحَةِ الْكِتَابِ. That is the categorical statement of Prophet ﷺ. Why would you take the risk? Why don't you recite yourself also, along with the Imam? Let him recite loudly. You go on reciting, you know, in your heart. But do recite it. This is the position of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. And he is so emphatic on this issue that he says, whether the Imam is reciting loudly or not loudly, as you know, in the second half of the four rak'ah of the prayer of Zuhr and Asr, the prayer of Zuhr and Asr are all quietly said, no loud recitation. But in Isha, the last three, two rak'ah, there the Imam is not reciting loudly. But Imam Shafi says, whether he is reciting loudly or in his heart, you have to recite yourself in every case in the heart, and you have not to omit it. The position of Abu Hanifa is absolutely to the contrary. Never recite Suratul Fatiha when you are with an Imam, whether he is reciting loudly or quietly. Stand quietly, absolutely quietly. You have not to recite. This is, I dare say, this is also an extreme view. The middle of the road, the average view, which is, I think, more logical, more practical, that is of Imam Malik rahimahullah. When the Imam is reciting loudly, he quiet, don't recite, listen to him. Because we have an injection of the Quran also. إِذَا قُوِيَ الْقُرَانِ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِتُوا. When Quran is being recited, keep quiet and listen to it. Your whole attention should be focused on listening. If you are listening also and reciting also, the attention will be diverted and divided. It's logical, practical. When the Imam is reciting loudly, listen. Don't recite yourself. When he is reciting in his heart, you also recite in your heart. So this is the middle of the road solution. And because I myself practice it, so I have explained it to you. The two positions of Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Shafi'i, to me it seems that they are on the extremes. So actually, here also I want to mention one thing. It doesn't make any difference. One thing is agreed upon, that you have to recite Suratul Fatiha. And if you are offering your prayer alone, there's no difference whatsoever. Now if somebody is reciting along with the recitation of the Imam, let him do it. Why do you get perturbed? Why do you issue a fatwa against him? And if someone is not reciting, why are you perturbed? He's also acting on an expert opinion. He is accepting the opinion of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. He was a big jurist, no doubt. In the same way, whosoever is reciting, he is acting on the opinion of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayh. Can we ignore him and his opinion? So if people are acting according to different schools of fiqh, we should have, you know, we should accommodate mentally, and we should be able to reconcile ourselves that these things are very trivial. Let everybody do as he likes to do. Don't make it the issue and the basis of fatwas of kufr, and you know, he is someone else and I am someone else. Man digram tu digri, you are something else and I am something else. And that is actually, basically that is due to some ignorance, because we don't know what are the fundamentals. Why these differences? Where we agree and where we disagree. And if there is any disagreement, what's the basis of disagreement? Now as I told you the analysis of this surah, first three ayat, one sentence. Last three ayat, one sentence. In between, one ayah, two sentences. And the second thing that I want to make, second point before we conclude this session of ours is, there's a great gradual change. When we are saying, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki, Yawm al-Din, there is no direct address to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is as if we are speaking in the third person. We are talking about someone. It's jumlah khabriya, kalam-e khabriya. But there's no direct address to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then suddenly, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Now we are addressing him. Now it's a dialogue. So actually this is a change from Ghiyab to Huzur. From the third person now we have come to second person. We are addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this point has been very beautifully explained by Allama Iqbal in his, I think, third lecture. The meaning of prayer in Islam. He says, what is prayer? It is as if the finite ego, I, Ana, this is an ego in me, but this is finite, limited. And who is Allah? The infinite ego, the great I am. Innani anallahu la ilaha illa ana ta'buduni wa aqimis salata li zikri. And here they are coming face to face with each other. The finite ego standing before the infinite ego, addressing him. And this is the beauty of the prayer. And that is why the Prophet said, As-salatu mi'rajul mu'minin. What happened to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He was face to face with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A direct dialogue was going on. And this, the taste of this direct dialogue between yourself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can have a taste of it. It's this surah and these wordings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us by His grace. If these words, as I said before, if they are emerging from the depths of our hearts, it's actually a miraj. You are talking to Allah. You are addressing Him. Your finite ego has come face to face with the infinite ego of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is actually the zenith of prayer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that prayer. You know, not only a ritual, not only a custom, a ritual, a rite. Why it's a ritual? But the real meaning of prayer, the essence of prayer. And this real meaning and essence of prayer can emerge from real yaqeen and conviction in the omnipotence and omnipresence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that condition is there, then you shall be addressing Him. Just as the Prophet said in Hadith Jibreel, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. So that you are able to worship Allah as if you are seeing Him. Or at least if you are not seeing Him, you must have the idea and conviction that He is seeing you. You are in His presence. He is listening to you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and you all the taste of that real prayer. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen.